Hello, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 163 of the NLSC podcast. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben. You may also know him as Arcane.
Hey.
And with us as always for the past few weeks, Kenny.
Hola.
So here we are. Here we are, guys, to talk about basketball, video games, and of course, the real basketball. We have been following that just a little bit, despite some of our... Disenfranchisement. Yes, we're feeling a bit disenchanted with some of the way the season has gone. But nevertheless, we are here to talk about those things, our favorite subjects. Before we get into that, there was something I wanted to talk about very quickly this week. We are recording this on June 16th, and I don't really dedicate the podcast, make a lot of dedications on the podcast, or you know, we don't really talk about a lot of the stuff apart from, again, our favorite subjects, basketball and basketball video games. But given the date and something personal to me, I just want to beg everyone's indulgence for a moment and dedicate this show to my old friend Simon. This would have been Simon's 30th birthday, and I say would have because, unfortunately, my friend took his life about 8 years ago. And, yeah, it's... That hit us pretty hard. All of us who knew him, we didn't know how much he was suffering, and unfortunately, this is an issue that a lot of people can relate to. I know you guys. We were talking before it, and we've all been touched by it in some way.
Yeah, you know, I make no secret that you know fighting depression for like 25 years, you do hit some really low points in that, and. You know, about three times in my life I have, you know, attempted suicide in the past and that. So I understand the, you know, how you probably felt at times and that, and how hard it can get to even to get out of those like dark places and that you can end up going. Mm. So I can fully relate and understand. So, yeah. And having a friend who's... brother committed suicide as well. You know, it's really hard, especially you know you knew the guy for a few years and then you find out that's you know it's not something he talked about, and then when you find out through another friend and that it happened, it's like oh, you know, you wonder how they've been coping in that. You know, all this time with how it's affected them and that. So
absolutely. It's how I've felt about my old friend Simon. I've had my issues over the years. I've never attempted or considered a self harm like that. But you know, a lot of people do, and sadly, a lot of people do go through with it. And you know, obviously, we try to do some fun things in this community, and you know, it's corny to say things like put smiles on people's faces or lift spirits and so forth. But you know, I do hope that when people do come to our community, that they can have a good time, because sometimes you do need an escape. And I encourage anyone who is having those problems and feeling down and in a tough place in life to seek out some positive experiences, whether it is through definitely through social interaction, but even an online community. Obviously, not meant to be a cheap plug for ours. That would be very coarse. But you know, whether it's us, whether it's somebody else on the internet, some kind of something that brings you happiness in your life, and please seek help. You know, there are so many hotlines and
support networks. But
support networks, avenues to get professional help and ways to, you know, that you can ask your GP, your family doctor about to get referrals and things to, you know, there's all kinds of programs to go to, and so many community outreach kind of programs in all around the world. I'd hate to see more people, and unfortunately it does happen, you know, the more people around the world every day. But you know, it was something that always that I felt strongly about before what happened, before Simon took his life, but certainly afterwards, having been affected by it and seeing his family, and we grew up as our families being very close. So you know, one of those honorary aunt and uncle situation, so it kind of grew up, you know, like a cousin to me, as well as a close friend. So it hit hard, and it's you know, I wish he was here today to have a VB of all beers. You know, I would have a VB. As much as I don't like VB, I would have one in his honor, and perhaps I'll have one this weekend. But I did want to dedicate this show to Simon on his what would have been his 30th birthday. And do a good show for him. And again, if anyone listening is having some dark times, having some problems, please seek help. You know, you are worth more than you could ever know. You are there are people who love you. There are people that will help you, and they'll also help you see your self-worth. So find a light in the darkness. If that's not too corny for you, but please get help. And do everything you can in this world, because you can make a difference. You can, but you are, yeah. It's especially in light of the tragic shooting last week. You know, there's so much tragedy in the world. We need as many people fighting the good fight. So, you know, miss you, Simon. Love you, mate. You know, gonna do a good show for you. And thank you guys for letting me have this time. But let's put the ball in the air and tip off a good show.
No worries.
Sounds good to me. Well said.
So, having said that, we don't have a lot of news to cover this week. It is, even though, you know, the E3 is upon us, not a whole lot of to talk about. Obviously, NBA Live has been pushed back. 2K doesn't really give us much until August, September. I know they do have a presence. You can get a Kobe My Team coin if you're at the event. So, that's something, I guess. But they've also been continue to unveil Team 2K. We talked about this last week. We had the teaser image. We speculated. We talked ourselves out of an actual person, guys. We said we thought it was Jimmy Butler, and then we went another way. Thought it might be Anthony Davis for some reason. It was Jimmy Butler. So, we should have gone with our first instincts on that one.
That's true.
You guys were right about the other two. I know you were the ones who said Kyrie Irving and Draymond Green. They were revealed as the other silhouettes. So the full Team 2K lineup for NBA 2K17, Paul George, the cover player, Andre Drummond, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Jimmy Butler, and Karl Anthony Towns. I'm guessing they've all done mocap, or will be doing mocap at some point. I'm guessing Draymond Green is a bit busy, although he did have a game off. So maybe he had time to stop by the studios.
Need to practice those leg movements.
Practice the groin kick animation. But
I'm looking forward to that quote-unquote flail animation, so yeah.
Ah, flail, yes. I apologize. Not intentional at all. So, yeah, a strong lineup of talent for 2K. They've obviously, much as EA has done, work with all the top players over the years. And I mean, I don't know what else I can say about it, really. It's except we, you know, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, I suppose. Better than a lot of our bold predictions.
That's true.
But obviously, Paul George is just the lone cover player. Do you think there will be any content related to Team 2K? I mean, they are obviously pushing that very early. Is this just, again, branding to get the name out there, or do you think there might be something to do with a mode with some of the extra players as well?
Not sure. I mean, previous years, you know, they've had a few guys obviously represent the game, like EA has as well, you know, and they had Lillard and John Wall and all that stuff. So
Rubio and everything for a couple of years there.
Yeah, so whether it's just sort of a similar tactic to that, maybe just to show like strength in numbers and the support that they're getting from NBA players in terms of a cultural sort of pop culture sort of format, saying, you know, look who we got sort of thing, who backs us. Mm. So I don't know. It's just, maybe just, yeah, more signature content stuff from them, but I don't imagine it'll be probably going to be around, but yeah, probably nothing more, really.
I mean, it's been a couple of years since we've had a mode based on a cover player, and I suppose it was easier to do when you had the Michael Jordans and
with all the
Magic Johnson.
Yeah, and the achievements that they've done, so
and you can have the mode based around the historical content like you did in 2K12. Very well timed, obviously, because of the lockout that year. But even with LeBron James on prior gen, they had, in 2K14, they had the Path to Greatness, which I didn't think was... I thought it was probably the weakest mode in the game, but again, it was just a bit of flavor content to celebrate the cover player. But again, they haven't done that for the past couple of years, really, any kind of... and Paul George, while he's a great player, sort of doesn't have that distinguished career of winning championships or anything like that, so... You can't really celebrate Paul George's best moments. Well, the Pacers got eliminated by the seventh game in 2013. You know, they kind of, you know, went far that year, but you know what I mean. That's not a knock on Paul George as such, because you know, it takes more than one player, and he's only 25 or something. He's still pretty young.
Yeah, he's, I can't remember how young he is, but I know he's definitely younger than us.
Well, these days that's not much of a
that's true.
We're old men of 30. Well, Kenny's not.
I will be in July. He's
26, just turned 26 in May. So obviously entering his prime, overcome that great, to overcome that terrible injury to be a great player again. But you can't really do any extra content around it. But then maybe you could do some extra content around a whole lot of them. And Draymond Green's obviously a champion, as much as we love Draymond Green. I guess this year they're going to have the Kobe stuff for the Legendary Edition.
Yeah.
So I guess that's probably the bonus content. But so
I imagine that's where they'll put their focus in.
Yeah. Mm. So like my theory behind like the guys in Team 2K is, I think that one of the features that they will be kind of implemented in will be like, you know, in NBA 2K16, my career, they have like cut scenes where he's talking to like Steph Curry and James Harden and the cover players.
Oh yes,
like,
yes.
That's what I think the guys from Team 2K will probably be doing.
Oh okay, yeah. So that's a good idea. That's a good point. Yeah.
So I think like that's probably one of the main changes that they'll probably like be looking to make to the game. But other than that, I can't really think of anything outside of like promotional reasons for like Team 2K. So.
Well, as long as
they... Pro-Am squad, it's like a final bossing, sort of like what Live
did. Yeah, that'd be cool. I mean, if they are acting in my career, hopefully they've been given better direction than DeMarcus Cousins. So, who clearly had a plane to catch when they got him into the studio to record that. So, really, that's the best take you've got? Okay.
And when he was doing the connection with me where he took the photo, he did not look interested at all.
No, it's kind of a default expression there, to say the least.
He looked very angry.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was not a pleasant connection to be made there.
What reward did you get for that connection, by the way?
Not a smile, that's for sure. If a smile is its own reward, you were not rewarded, my friend.
That would have cost a VC to get.
Touché. What did I get? I might have to look this up later, but it might have been a signed jersey, perhaps. But no, it might have been something.
Did he sign it with a smile or through gritted teeth?
It's either that or a My Team card or something like that. Because usually they're pretty much like, a lot of them are pretty much the same.
200 My Team points. See, here's an idea, guys. What if everybody was to video their... I almost said videotape. How antiquated am I, speaking of old? Everyone was to record to a video of their shooting motion, and then they get someone to... because obviously they can't bring everyone in for mocap, but if they pick like a handful of fans to get their shot into the game, or a pretty close representation by people imitating the shot, you know, that'd be a cool contest. Although I do think if my shot got into the game... you would actually have to get VC to equip it. You know, you would actually receive VC for equipping it. Not there's no way you should pay for it. So
mine might.
Although I have seen worse when I was making my player. I have seen worse, more awkward jump shots.
Just to confirm, it is a signed jersey you get with a third connection, DeMarcus Cousins.
Okay.
Totally worth it.
Yeah. With regards to my jump shot, you might need no surgery because I seem to. Like, the shooting hand sort of grazes the nose on a lot of occasions on my shot. So, yeah, kind of a weird little thing from when I shoot. So, yeah, maybe, like, yeah, nasal surgery.
You get hit in the nose. You end up making that face you did after the harsh reality. Like...
Yes.
We were sharing some screenshots before we started recording, just to share the in joke with everyone. And the face that Ben's my player made at the end of the story in NBA 2K16 was unflattering, shall we say? Yeah. It was the facial animations did you no favors.
We're thinking about starting a harsh realities thread where we get everybody to post that photo and see whether it's horrible universally or whether it's just Ben's and mine.
You know, we all need that shot of self-esteem, I suppose. Yeah. Mercy. So I guess that's about all the news we have this week, because again, we don't really have any details on the game itself, just this reveal of the Team 2K. So again, congratulations, guys. You got Kyrie and Draymond. I suggested Butler, then talked myself out of it. So,
and Durant.
I lose, I get nothing. Good day, sir. So,
was Durant or one of the when we lost?
He was there. He was there last week.
Okay, so, yeah. I was just trying to remember. That's all.
We can't take credit for it, you know. That's bold predictions. So we have a few questions this week. As always, thank you for sending some in whenever we put out the call. And the first one is about NBA 2K17. And the question is, and I paraphrase, if NBA 2K17 includes any new classic teams, what are some of the teams that we'd like to see? Well, obviously, I'd like to see the next level Nuggets, Kenny. You know, I think we should, instead of classic teams, we should have future teams. You know, we should go the other way with time travel.
That's an NBA Live exclusive, not a 2K one.
That's a good
point.
Bring
that out there. But yeah, I think going on that theme, I would like to see the 09 Nuggets. Back when they made the run to the Western Conference Finals, I really liked that team. Had a lot of really like interesting players in it, like Chauncey Billups, Carmelo Anthony, and like the other supporting cast, like Chris Anderson, Nene, Kenyon Martin. I think that'd be a really fun team, and I think they would be able to get the rights for pretty much every player on it as well.
Well, a lot of them are kind of fairly recently in the league or still in the league, I guess. So,
lot of them are. I think, I don't know whether Stephen Hunter was still on the team, but I know that they do have the rights for him because he was in a Phoenix Suns, or I think it was the Phoenix Suns team, yeah. So they'd be able to get him, so I'd like to see that team, I think.
That's a pretty good team. For me, it'd be like the 03-04 Miami Heat.
Oh, with Eddie Jones.
Yeah, and when Dwayne Wade was just coming into the scene.
So I'm just having a very quick look at the 2009 Nuggets roster here. So we've got Chris Anderson, Carmelo Anthony, Chucky Atkins, Ronaldo Borkman. There's a name.
Oh yeah.
Chauncey Billups. Well, actually, this is just everyone who played, so this also includes people who got traded, because Allen Iverson is listed in the stats for the... This is on Basketball Reference, and obviously he was traded to the Pistons. Yeah. Kenyon Martin, he was there by the end of the season. I can look at the playoff stats.
Yeah, I don't think... Yeah, he was still there.
He was, yep. Nene, J.R. Smith. So Billups and Martin are recently retired. Anthony is still in the league, obviously, as is Nene and J.R. Smith, Chris Anderson. Dante Jones is back in the league, playing in the finals and hitting people in the groin. Anthony Carter, Linus Kleiser, Petro, Borkman, Hart. That's the playoffs. So, yeah, a few players are still actually active on that roster.
Yeah, I think it'd be a feasible one. And I guess it'd be nice nostalgia for people that liked Carmelo Anthony back on the Nuggets team. I mean, I still like Carmelo Anthony, but...
Obviously. I feel he's a bit underrated at times. It's probably because people call him overrated, you know, to the point where I think when everyone calls you overrated, you can't be overrated because who's overrating? So. Yeah.
I just think he's not on the same tier as LeBron James, which, to be fair, not a lot of people are.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
So I might actually change mine because I was just double checking the years. I mean, actually, that year's not too bad that I selected, but even like the 04-05 Miami, because you got Eddie Jones, you got Alonzo Mourning, you got Shaq, you got Wade, obviously, Steve Smith, Darrell Wright, Rasheal Butler, Kenyon Dooling, Haslam, Damon Jones, yeah. Christian Laettner. So yeah, I'd go that one as well.
2005 Heat, yeah, that's a pretty good one. I'm thinking, and this is, you couldn't do it because of one player in particular. The 1997 Rockets with Olajuwon, Barkley, and Drexler.
Ooh.
If they could get the rights, that would be a, you know, a great team to have. Without Barkley, it would lose something. I mean, if you can't put Barkley, you might as well have a Rockets team from earlier on.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be a good team. Like I remember NBA Live 98 being particularly interesting because of that team, so yeah, I'd go with that.
Because Barkley making his first official appearance in the live series.
Yeah, that's as well.
In NBA Live 98. A team that had a lot of potential. Age and injuries did catch up with them in the couple of years they were together. Underrated jerseys. I still like the pajama jerseys, and I don't apologize for it at all. Just thinking if there's anyone else that I'd... because, I mean, they have covered a lot of ground already, and they've pretty much covered all the Bulls teams that I'd want to have in the game. Because the memories are all Jordan related, and they've already had all the Jordan teams. There's no other teams I really want from the Jordan. I guess if they could get it, I think it's the 83 Nuggets with Kiki Vandeweghe and Alex English.
Yeah,
that height, the one that had the all-time best scoring game with the Pistons.
Yeah, that would be a fun one.
Although that might be 84, but kind of those early 80s Nuggets, one of those teams.
I don't think they have the rights to Alex English, though, because I was looking through my historic cards earlier and Alex English isn't on the list. And, you know, he's arguably, I would say top five, like at a conservative guess, as far as like Denver Nuggets are concerned. So, yeah, it's a...
Oh, no, it was Adrian Dantley had a ridiculously efficient season at one point.
It's like Alex English was one of the top scorers in the 80s, like just in general.
In 1982, yeah, 25 points a game on 55% shooting, 10 of 18 field goals a game. Just taking a look, I thought there was one where he was even higher. But, yeah, very efficient player, one of the top scorers, as you said, and, yeah, probably one of the best players in Nuggets history. If anyone more recent, 2002 Nets?
Is that the one with Vince Carter and...
Kid?
That's Kid Jefferson, Kenyon Martin. That's Dikembe.
Ah, okay.
That's the one that went to the finals for the second straight... the first appearance.
Okay.
Todd McCulloch, of course. T-Mac, the real T-Mac. But yeah, that 97 Rockets team, just for that it's funny because you look back and that was the start of trying to put together a big three, like manufacturing a big three maybe. I mean, there were big threes before that. You know, your Magic Worthy, Kareem, Bird, McHale, Parrish, and of course at the time, Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, but sort of trying to manufacture that team with trading because it already had Drexler and Olajuwon, of course, but then trading for Barkley and trying to go all out to compete with the Bulls' big three. You know, it was one of those early blockbusters. You know who was traded for? Were they traded for Charles Barkley?
I can't remember.
No idea.
There was four players, and I just have to get the last one because I've forgotten the fourth one, because it was Sam Cassell, Mark Bryant, Chucky Brown... Oh, and Robert Horry, of course.
Ah, big shot, Rob.
So that's four players to get to get Barkley.
Wait, so and Robert Horry? Okay, yeah, no, that makes sense.
Robert Horry began his career with the Rockets, yeah.
Yeah, he began his career with the Rockets, and then he kind of got traded from the Suns because of some indiscretion.
He threw a towel at Danny Ainge,
okay,
and, who was coaching, and
because that's how he ended up on the Lakers. So I
And he was traded for Cedric Ceballos that season, who started his career with the Suns.
Yeah. That's a shame. I know Andrew the ex loves Cedric Sabola, so that would have been a bit of a gut punch for him.
Yeah. So any other classic teams you guys would like to see? I'm kind of drawing a blank. You know, those are the first two that came to mind. I'd love to see the 2002 Kings properly in there. That's not too much of a backhanded shot. But...
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think that King squad with Chris Webber would be an awesome one to have. I guess maybe the Warriors squad with Webber and Hardaway and Sprewell as well. That would be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, yep. I think the one with the Hornets roster with Baron Davis and, again, for me, you know, Eddie Jones and that. That was an interesting team. I'm trying to remember what year it was now.
Early 2000s.
Yeah,
2001. Yeah.
2003.
Sort of just prior to the New Orleans move, I would say.
Yeah.
Baron Davis, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Third pick overall in 99.
Pretty sure it was around 2002, 2003. Actually, maybe so
having played having played NBA Live 2002 fairly recently, yes, I think you are right. To that circa 2002, 2001, 2002, I'd say.
It wasn't 2001, 2002.
It wasn't. It's 2000 when Davis was a rookie.
Let's check. 2000, 2001.
So the Warriors team would have been the 93-94 Warriors.
The 94, yeah. Although Tim Hardaway missed that whole year with injury.
Ah, right, yeah. Okay. I just always found that that case study with Chris Webber interesting because he was the first pick overall. He was traded, and then he was traded again after his rookie season. So
because he didn't want to stay in with the Warriors, yeah.
Yeah, it's
and, forced the deal for. I think Tom Gugliotta was the player he was traded for, wasn't he? Well, we've got the internet right in front of us, so there is no need to speculate for too long. Because I remember...
Okay, sorry, it was 2000.
2000, so that Baron Davis' rookie year.
Yeah.
Tom Gugliotta and 3 first-round picks.
Ooh. Who were Todd Fuller, Vince Carter, although he was traded for Anton Jamison, and Chris Mim. Because that pick ended up going, Chris Mim, that would have been the Bulls pick.
I like Jameson.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so keen on the other two, but Jameson was a fine player.
That would have been an interesting front court if they'd kept them together in Washington, Webber, Howard, and Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, they did keep Webber and Howard together for a few years, but Rasheed, they traded after his rookie season as well.
I mean, we already saw Webber and Howard anyway back in college, so.
That is true. That is true. So, in light of not having any of the classic teams, I guess, to suggest, those are probably, I feel some pretty solid picks all across the board. Let us know if there are any others that you'd like to see. So if they are going to continue expanding that content, that would be nice to get a few teams that they could lock down. Would be great to see Tim Barkley back in the game. You know, if they could get the Dream Team back in the game and things like that, especially if they do some FIBA content with Team USA this year with Paul George, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it's looking like it because of the whole jersey element, you know, suggesting that they could be. Yeah, I think, you know, if it's something they add every, like, 2 or 4 years, you know, with FIBA or Olympics, based stuff, I think that's pretty cool.
Every now and again, it would be cool if they could lock that down again.
Yeah.
Maybe need to put in another call to Jay-Z. So along the lines of classic content and retro content in games, this is another question along the same lines. Since we can select different or classic jerseys, would we like to be able to select different or classic courts in games? And I think this would actually be a really good idea. Because a couple of teams did do those. It was the Bucks and the Warriors this year did the throwback courts or the alternate courts.
Yeah, it was
the city court and the Bucks had an alternate court as well.
The Kings as well, maybe? I don't know.
Possibly. But again, I think that would be pretty cool since teams are starting to do that.
Yeah.
And having alternate courts or being able to play, you know, have a full retro night in your My League or Dynasty Association, My League, My GM, or Dynasty. I'd love to see that in either game or both games to be able to select not only retro jerseys but alternate and retro courts. That'd be cool.
Yeah, you know, and there's some classic courts like the old Houston Rockets during their sort of, again, pajama era. Uniform.
I don't get the hate. I do not get the hate.
I don't
sorry.
Either. I actually like that uniform, and you know, it had an interesting graphic to it. You know, it was the sort of obscure sort of pinch.
It's a bit cartoony, but yeah, still,
it was good. It was graphically interesting. It wasn't plain dull like some of the crap we're seeing today.
It's funny that they say that it's a product of its era, yet they're going back to the 70s and 80s for designs now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. The other one would be the Charlotte Hornets one back in the day with the gradient.
Oh, the honeycomb.
Yeah, and the gradient.
Yeah.
That was a great court.
I'd love to see the new Hornets pull that off. I still think the Hornets have some of the best branding in the league these days.
Yeah, I agree. So. I agree. But agree. So that's inappropriate English right there.
So if we do this, Kenny, you could not only have the rainbow jerseys, but that old McNichols Arena. I guess
that's true, but to be slightly controversial, I'd like to see them do that with the Thunder and the Seattle Supersonics.
Ooh, okay.
Ooh. Open a can of worms, but yeah,
pitchforks and flaming sticks and that coming your way.
Torches and pitchforks—they're not going to like you in the Pacific Northwest.
I can see the abusive tweets now. But, yeah. I don't know, like. Because I just think the Sonics branding and all that kind of stuff, I just found them to be a really interesting team aesthetically, yeah. As well as, like, you know, just an interesting team all around, like with Gary Payton and all those kind of guys, and Sean Kemp as well. I know he's one of your favorites, Andrew.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, just...
Delta Shrimp.
Yeah. Yeah, they had, like, a really interesting team, and I guess, as well, green is my favorite color, so... I guess there's that general bias as well. So I'd like to be able to choose the Sonics court.
And my Brick City team's got the old classic 90s Sonic style, just with
the Skyline one.
Yeah.
So I was going to ask, which Sonics branding do you like the most? Because a lot of people seem to like that one, or they like the one that came afterwards. I always thought the logo they had up until the end of their, till they became the Thunder, was a bit too much like it should have been like a Heinz soup. label or a beer bottle or something like that. I like the one they had from 95 to 2001 when they made the finals in 96. That jersey and that logo, I like that one.
I like both. I probably didn't like the... It was kind of like a reddish brown.
Oh, the red alternate. Yeah.
Probably wasn't like too much a fan of that one, but the home and away one of that I really did like. And the previous one in that, which obviously the Brick City one that I like.
I haven't been able to find it anywhere, like a reference to it on sports logos or anything, but at least last time I checked. But with the Sonics jerseys, a year or so before they adopted the one that had the 96 finals, you know, with the kind of the more circular S logo and everything,
yep.
and that darker... I guess it's not forest green. I don't know. You're my art guy, Ben. You should know the colors.
I usually call it like a pine green.
Pine green. Sure, I'll go with that then.
Makes sense with all the pine trees in the far north. So,
a year before they adopted that, I've got on one of the old. And this is to show my age. One of the old VHS tapes, NBA tapes from sort of that mid-90s, that has a Sean Kemp highlight on it. And the Sonics are wearing a jersey that's very much like the one they adopted from the 95-96 season, but in the colours they had, like, from the 70s through to 95. And I don't know, it was just like a concept jersey they wore one night or something, but I've seen it once. I've never been able to find more information on it, but it, yeah, kind of interesting to have that design that they would go to. It was like halfway between the two designs. Yeah. You've never seen it?
No, I'd have to... look out for it.
I'll have to see if I can find the clip of it. I don't think I've found it on YouTube. Again, I haven't been able to find anything about it except for this one.
Do you still have the old VHS?
I do. I just have to remember which one it is.
Okay. If you can get a photo of it, like from your...
Yeah, in fact, it might be one of the ones that has now been released on DVD, which would be even easier because I just got a screen cap of that.
True.
So I might have to, when I have some time, force myself to watch some old 90s highlights from the NBA. And,
that'll be tough.
Those, sounds those, awful, like, man.
Those 45-minute videos.
It's... I really wish the NBA would do some longer stuff and have more content on NBA League Pass.
Yeah.
WWE Network puts them to shame in that respect, the Vault content, just saying.
I think from a design standpoint, I really like the skyline as well because it reminds me of Frasier, and that's like one of my all-time favorite shows. So
yeah,
that's kind of like that pleasing element to it.
I remember he actually ended up with courtside seats.
Niles hit the half-court shot as well.
Yes, as we all expected. So, that's not Sim. That's not Sim.
I didn't mind the Sonics one as well, the one with Rashad Lewis and Ray Allen era. We also had the yellow alternative. Like that was,
yeah,
that was,
I don't,
that was actually...
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I just really like the one they had from 95 to 2001. Yeah.
Just trying to actually replicate that one and get that one exact with the way that joins up onto the shorts and all that stuff was actually fairly complicated, and to get the sort of curve right. Some people sort of cheapened it, and you know, and it didn't quite turn out well. Or the curve where it had Sonics written on it, or Seattle, that was sort of like, you know, tribute to the older era one.
Yeah.
Some had it where that giant curve on the jersey actually connects to the arm sleeves and all that, when it actually didn't. So you can sort of tell when someone was wearing a fake version, or
yeah,
like someone had, when they were even patching it into the games and stuff like that, like creating patches, you could tell it wasn't accurate enough. So
there's a few years there where I was collecting jerseys, off eBay, and you could sort of tell when some of them were fake shots because they were just really bad looking. It just,
yep,
like if I went down the road tomorrow and bought myself a blank singlet and just started drawing the logo on there, I reckon it could be better than some of the bootlegs I saw. So.
But yeah,
and I can't draw, so yeah.
But yeah, now that one is quite a complicated one to get right, because the oval sort of shape between the shorts, and yeah, it wasn't easy. I mean, it took me a while, and I was hesitant in doing that one for a while because I thought it might be quite complex, and it was. And for being how attention to detail and trying to get it as accurate as possible. It took me a few goes till I was happy with getting it done properly in that. So, and I hated having to do it. Like, I was a bit hesitant in, I think, trying to convert it into like a HD version when I was looking at doing that later on. Although I did, from memory, I think, do it in vector, so I probably could have. But then trying to position it, because of the way like getting the two sides for when the the texture and that joins together, is making sure that the curves from the side of the jersey actually meet up and not be this misplaced and all that stuff where it's not connected properly in that. So
you've basically got superpowers to detect any kind of bootlegs these days. That just someone comes past a bootleg, you just out of the corner of your eye, bootleg.
Yep. And it's easy to, like, to tell Jordan bootleg ones in particular, because most 99% of them have like the Bulls logo on the back of the collar, and it's like
the newer ones.
Yep, that's when.
Or they spelled Jordan with two O's. Yeah. So that's Jordan.
Yeah.
So.
And it's like, yeah,
so like, that's kind of a giveaway.
Yeah. Or it's got like Adidas branding. It's like they didn't have the rights except for through the Mitchell and Ness brand. So
yes, yes.
And it's got like the. So like embroidery around the actual numbers and names instead of the sort of twill material and that's it.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the B looks very dodgy in Bulls and yep.
Or it's the Chicago Bills, one of the two.
Yeah.
Like, just bring it back to Super Dunk Shot.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, getting back to the question, I think again, great idea to have to switch out with some classic courts. You could, a few teams are already doing that alternate court idea, as well as the alternate jerseys, and to be able to play on some retro courts would be really cool. But yeah, be interesting to see if that would be too controversial to have the Sonics as the to give their assets to the Thunder, because of course the Sonics are in the game, the 96 Sonics are in the game with the classic teams already, but maybe something we could do with modding just to turn the screws. Yeah. But that's about all the questions we have for the basketball games this week. Thank you again. We'll always put a call out, but even if I forget or if I'm a bit late in doing so, please don't hesitate to send in questions and comment on the things that we're talking about so we can further respond and talk about them more if you'd like to hear us talk about whatever. But yeah, we haven't quite finished talking about basketball video games just yet, because it has come time to talk about our week in basketball gaming.
Puts it down! What a play!
Oh, that's a sweet finish right there.
So, guys, we once again got in some 2K Pro-Am. We were joined for a couple of games by our good friend, Jasmine, and Eric Q got in some games and did a very admirable job, I should say, as a 5'7 power forward.
He did. Yes, that was one of the stranger quirks we've seen in 2K Pro-Am.
Yeah.
But, obviously it doesn't base on height, so...
No, I thought, well, I'm going to be moved to shooting guard because of the... I thought I'd probably be moved to shooting guard because, again, point guard being my position. You or Ben end up playing power forward. But poor Eric was put at power forward.
So outmatched.
Because he hasn't sort of had time to really upgrade his play yet either. So he was a 61 overall going against like a 88 power forward or something. So...
We saw it team.
In the lineup introductions. Where why is he there?
And I've been putting my hand up.
Some games did put him at point guard and me at shooting guard.
Yeah.
So
I've been putting my hand up, saying, "Look, I'm willing to pay power forward if they put me there. Like, they just need to put me there. Like, the thing is, though, my guy's rated 93 overall, so he always keeps his position no matter what kind of players we have.
Mm.
So." Yeah, maybe that's something that needs to be fixed, because having a 5'7 power forward, yeah, that shouldn't happen.
Shouldn't happen. Do you think there should be some kind of feature where you can swap positions? Obviously it has to be agreed by on everyone involved, or at least the two people who are swapping positions. But
I think yeah. So.
I think like the person who's like, for instance, it's mainly Kenny who hosts it and all that. He should have the right to adjust the starting roster, the starting lineup, just like you would any other game mode that you play. Yeah.
To say, well, okay, this, you know, you're going to play point guard. We hasn't put you a point guard, but you're the best facilitator.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're going to move you there, and it's we can do so, and playing big or small or whatever. I think it might be tough again and cause some friction, but. Well, it's obviously causing friction when you've got a 5'7 power forward and they've got point guard as their natural position, set as their position. But it was a pretty good introduction, actually, for the mode for Eric, because we had a pretty good game. So once again, much the same as way for my first week playing, you see the best and the worst of the mode, you know, the most frustrating and the most exciting. And I touched on this, both you and I in the past week, Kenny, have written articles on Pro-Am, you're talking about the 99 overall, which I agree with, and I was just giving some of the rundown of some of my recent experiences, and just a few things I like to see cleaned up for 2K17. But as I said, and I think everyone who's played with us has kind of got that feel, is that the most fun is the social aspect of it, and being able to get together and hang out with friends and, you know, crack jokes while you're playing games.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think like for me now, I pretty much play NBA 2K16 like for that element. Like,
yes,
yeah,
there's not a whole lot going on for me like at the moment in 2K16 anyway. Like, I may play my career every now and then to boost my player, but I think I don't know. I think it's because there's a few factors. One being like my collector level on my team has plateaued and I can't really get like too much further in that. And I guess I have liked playing my league, but at the same time, I've kind of wanted to do something like with that whole like story thing, and I haven't gotten around to figuring out what that is yet. So I think it's like those two factors combined have kind of made me just play 2K16 for the social element now.
Yeah, yeah. It's, I mean, like you say, when you haven't really got a lot of going on in the other modes, you've already kind of played my team to a point of satisfaction. You know, this is, it is the more, to throw out a buzzword that's not cartoonish, unfortunately, it's I guess it's more dynamic because you've got the different opponents, although we do run across the same opponents sometimes. Fortunately, not the ones with the creepy pictures too often. And getting together, obviously, and chatting as we do. You know, we talk a lot, you guys, the three of us. You know, we were talking for almost 2 hours before we started recording tonight, and then we realized we had a podcast to do. So it's the same with the games. You're just there having some fun. And if something goes wrong, you know, you're not just the lone person screaming at a TV. You've got other people to back you up on. Yeah, you got kind of screwed on that call.
So. We can be like, don't throw the controller. We know what you're going through.
It's a good support system for the frustrating moments.
Don't bring your hammer into this and smash the game like some dude did like during the road to the finals. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. The road to destruction. But we had a couple of decent games. We won a game without a forfeit. That was nice.
Yeah, that was the one I was kicked out of. So thanks to
I had a double-double in that game, 11 points and 11 assists. 11 assists without a turnover, which is better than any game that Stephen Curry has played in these finals. I'm better than Curry in a video game.
So you know, that was in the game.
Well, where's my hashtag, okay?
That was in the game.
And I'm doing that as a 76 overall.
Was that...
He gets 99 and he can't even do it. Anyway.
Was that in the game I was booted from or the one the night before?
Let me take a look at the screenshot because...
Oh, okay, it's the one you put on the article. So it's the one I was booted from. I was like...
Game 13?
Yeah, I was like, damn it, Andrew. I know we won that game, but my stat line is horrible in that. It's like 5
Yes, we should know that that's Virtual Kenny who was... Well, you're still in the party chat. You were supporting us in spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and John Cher played the game with me, so I appreciated that.
It certainly made a difference having a capable big, which John's player certainly is.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's crashing the boards.
Those free throws.
Oh, the chuck wagon.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what Peter does with his character, because, I did notice he was playing a bit the other day, so
I enjoy the sound that John makes when he's making the free throws.
Yeah.
Just the grunting of the effort. It sums up Chuck Hayes' free throw.
The struggle is
very, very well. Yeah,
the struggle is real.
The eternal struggle. Just
he's super efficient with it though. Like I've only seen him miss like once or twice.
That cheese. Yeah. It's you know, I think he said he has a rating of 90 or something. So, yeah, as ugly as it looks, he knocks it down. Yeah. So. We came across someone who had Rick Barry's free throw.
Yeah, I've seen that more than once.
Yeah.
Granny style. So. Just thinking of any other tales that we could relate to our listeners about the games. We had a fairly competitive game for most of it. Was that just the one you and I played, Kenny? Just the two of us?
No, that would have been a third. You mean the one Ben was booted out of?
The one that Ben was booted out of, yeah. Before it even started.
Yeah, so. That was pretty competitive. I think, like, at least for the first three quarters anyway.
I was impressed for two when it's 2-on-4 or 5
yeah.
human players. And we're both kind of wing players and backcourt players.
Yeah. So.
But and again, you have a game like that, and it's when everything kind of goes okay, or you know, you obviously win, or you can at least be competitive. You do, boosts you up to keep playing. And when you do have the bad game, the social aspect again kind of keeps your spirits up because we're joking about it and such like that. I'm looking forward to employing some more strategy in our next games. I think John gave us some great tips. Certainly, you really got to be aware of the cherry pickers, and I think I have a tendency, again, this is the player one mentality, to try and crash the boards.
Yeah.
Whereas really, as the guard, I should really just be running back, because otherwise they just leak out and cherry pick like anything. And even though they've nerfed a lot of the long passes, you know, if you've got a good ratings, you still make them, which you should. You know, long outlet passes are a thing, obviously.
Yeah.
So
I think another thing with our game as well, when somebody gets a rebound, somebody needs to stay with them, because if everybody's trying to get that outlet pass, you need to make like a full court pass to somebody in order to like make the play. And yeah, because my first instinct when I get the rebound, I hit X. Like I hit the shoulder button and X, so I come pass it to the point guard every time. Yeah. And when that point guard is on the end of the other end of the court, usually that means a turnover for me. So maybe that's a habit I need to get out of. Maybe I need to start dribbling a bit when I get the rebound. I don't know.
Oh, maybe our point guard should stop cherry picking like I've been doing. So
I think
that might also help.
I think Eric did a bit of that as well.
I'm open. So. I'm cherry picking. You know, we know, Andrew. We know. We see you.
So yeah, I think that's one thing as well. Like the fact that we're not going to hit those full court passes all the time, and I think one game I had like 7 turnovers or something because of that. So
yeah, and the other key is, of course, you know, and a key, I guess, using it in two senses of the words here, is a lot of shots in the paint that are contested, you know, picking and choosing spots.
Yeah.
Because the temptation is to go for the easy shot or the easier shot in the paint, but we just don't seem to be able to finish with contact. Do either of you guys have any badges, like the Acrobat badges or anything? Or?
No, but I saw what you need to do. You need to, it's based on how many times you like change your shot in midair. And I think you need to do that 4 times in a season. And you also need to attempt 20 or 30 reverse layups in a season.
Okay.
I picked that up off Operation Sports.
Well, we know what we must do, apparently. So,
I also think...
I mean, I'm just going to get out of the first season now, because it's all...
I need to
experience the harsh reality. You know, do I want to get there? It's going to be too heartbreaking, or...
We just need it for the screenshot. That's all we need you to experience that for.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get on that in the next couple of days. I've only got a few more games to go before the harsh reality hits. And then I'll get into 2K Pro-Am as a 76 overall, and more harsh reality will hit there too. So, but no, it has been fun. Any other thoughts, Ben, on the recent games?
Well, like I mentioned to you guys before we started recording, and after the second night that we were playing, and that I came back on later on and played a bit of My Park. It's something I hadn't done in, I think I've only done like twice, and I think the first time was just sort of walking around and just seeing what the new courts look like, and I don't think I really played much of a game in that. So played about 3 games from memory. It was getting like 4 a.m. time, so, well, actually it was after 4 a.m. when I finished up my 3rd game, and it was like, yep, time for bed.
Yep.
So yeah.
Whoops, that got away from me.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, didn't have like the last time that I played, I think that was with you, Kenny.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and
I haven't played since we played tag in the past.
Yeah.
2K14.
And that second game that we played like really lagged out in that time, and that, so that's what kept me out of it. It was like, I don't want to go through all that crap again. Where it was just, but it wasn't too bad a connection at the time when I was played the other night. And the person I had been playing with, was someone that had been playing GTA online with, so I kind of knew them, and, you know, had a chat, party conversation with them and that while we were playing. Got a couple of wins in, and then the last game, played a team that was probably rated like 53 compared to us, so yeah, it was like, we lost to them. So that was kind of disappointing. I got a couple blocks in, and I don't know if my mate that I was playing with online had been kicked off or anything, because he sort of went quiet after a while, so I wasn't too sure if he was still playing, if it was just this CPU avatar in a sense playing and that. So yeah, I mean, it was all right fun. Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of cheesing in it, but yeah, it was good just to sort of see something different for play something different for a bit.
They haven't added any GTA elements yet?
No, not yet.
still can't mug people for VC in the park?
No.
Pre-order cancelled.
I reckon.
refund demanded.
You can't throw them in the giant shark tank.
So what's even the point?
I know.
So, anything else, guys, or shall we move on to a bit of real hoops?
Yeah, we can move on.
Yeah.
Move on. Well, that was our week in basketball gaming, so we will continue to talk about that each and every week, especially through the off-season when there's no NBA and we're waiting for news. We'll definitely be talking about what we're playing and sharing those anecdotes. But we will touch on some real basketball now. The 2016 NBA Finals have at most two games to go, or could certainly end tomorrow in Game 6. The Cavaliers managed the big victory, 30-point win in Game 3 after losing by 33 in Game 2. Then it all kind of fell apart in Game 4. And then Game 5 in Oakland, we thought, well, it's going to end in the fifth game. Draymond Green was suspended for getting reaching the limit on flagrant foul points after an incident where LeBron James stepped over him in Game 4 and he swung and swung at the groin.
Went for the Royal Jewels?
At this point, went for the Crown Jewels, absolutely. At this point, can anyone really defend it as incidental contact?
No. I mean, the last, what, three, four incidents where he's, you know, either gone for the groin or gone for the kick to the face.
Yeah. And you can say LeBron was doing the disrespectful step over, but you can't defend a shot to the groin, you know. In any kind of toughness or physicality, shots to the groin are considered dirty pool. So you can't say that. Of course, Warriors fans saying man up and everything. So, okay, you want to defend Draymond Green's shot to the groin? Okay, that says a lot about, you know, the bandwagon fans at least.
Also, the Cavaliers have a guy sitting on the bench who had the exact same thing happen to him like a decade ago. Well, probably more than that now. Allen Iverson stood over him, and yeah, that's seen as one of the classic kind of plays in NBA Finals history. So,
actually, LeBron also stood over him.
Stepped over Tyronn Lue as well. Yeah, when he was the Hawks. Yeah,
pretty much everyone stepped over him in some kind.
As much as memes are, you know, running to the ground, they've taken that shot of Tyronn Lue, you know, the flashbacks, and then like put it back with him getting stepped over and everything. People have done some creative stuff with that, but. Feel like we're taking shots at Warriors fans every single podcast, and some people that we're good friends with and really like are Warriors fans, so it's obviously directed at the
5 minutes
fanboyish, more fanboyish people. So,
fans.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, I take shots at the Heat. I took shots at Heat fans, like when they had their like I guess dynasty going on, and. It wasn't directed at Ben. It was just like the Fairweather people. So I think they probably it's not like targeted towards them.
If you're okay, so if you're offended by it, you are one of them. Is basically what we're saying. If it doesn't apply to you, you will not feel offended. No, I thought it was a bit much showing that there's LeBron crying stuff and everything. And he's a baby, and like you know, if you're gonna say it's tough to hit a guy in the groin, no, I'm sorry. Anyway, Green was suspended. Green was suspended. The Cavs won Game 5 to force a Game 6 back in Cleveland. LeBron and Kyrie scoring 41 points apiece, becoming the first duo to score 40 points apiece in a finals game. It's been done in many regular season games and in the playoffs before, but not the final series. So a historical or an historical performance there. Kevin Love did not a lot. Missed Game 3. After with a concussion, came back in Game 4, came off the bench, didn't really do much. It's been a very tough series for him, considering the amount of money they re-signed him for. I guess as far as it's been a big two rather than a big three for the Cavs.
Fair call.
Yep.
And I'll put this out there too. You know, Green said if he plays game five, they win. And of course, I'm not a huge fan of Green, but I think he's actually probably right because he has been. I think he has been the finals MVP. I think this is. I don't want to say it's exposed Curry because that's taking too much away from Curry, who is a great player and a fantastic shooter and everything. But, you know, with all the Curry better than Jordan stuff, which is ridiculous, I know, to start off with, I've covered that before, but is Green really the team's most valuable player for the way he affects the game both ways?
I'll say that the team is kind of balanced in that, you know, it's got a lot of options to go to. It's not...
Well, all I'm saying is I don't think Curry is the finals MVP.
No, I don't think so either. I think, yeah, he's been too light, or he's not been his regular season self, we'll say that.
I think this is the kind of question that doesn't really have a correct answer, because the way I see it, the Golden State Warriors play excellent team basketball, and they kind of like the Spurs in that kind of sense. Like, you could say Kawhi Leonard is the MVP at the Spurs, but at the same time, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge could probably get a finals MVP off of Kawhi Leonard. Like, so...
Yeah, and yeah. That's kind of what I was alluding to in some way, but...
But, you know, those first three Spurs championships, Duncan was most definitely the MVP.
Absolutely, yeah. And I guess that kind of spoke to the style that they played back then as well. Like, they kind of evolved into more of a...
That's true, they did.
Into more of what they are now, I guess. Whereas before, they were kind of like... They used to throw the ball into the post a lot more and that kind of stuff, so...
But it is funny, people said that it was disgraceful that Curry didn't win the MVP last season, the finals MVP, I should say. And I guess there'll be, if he doesn't win this, there'll be the same talk of disrespect this year. But I don't know, that his numbers in the finals have not been, if you compare them to any of Jordan's six finals MVPs, Shaq, when he was just tearing up the league in the early 2000s and averaged like 40 and 18, or close to, you know, over... what was it in the 2002 finals? But some of the big performances, obviously all the greats, Curry's numbers have not been, they've been below his own standards, let alone any historical standards, in the finals at least.
The Curry has gone from hot to mild.
Mild Curry, yeah, it's just fire is no longer five alarm.
Are you going to jail, Dad? We'll see, son. We'll see. Maybe.
We'll see. They noted that the Warriors, who have now won 88 games this season, the most of any team ever, surpassing the Bulls 87 in 96.
And again, we're stressed because obviously the change in the playoff format.
Well, of course, and then naturally they also get the extra ones during the regular season as well. Yep. But that's with the two losses, with all the losses, they will not have the best winning percentage, playoffs and regular season, just clinging on to that. but... Draymond Green is the only player who's played in all 88 wins this season. Just throwing it out there, because remember, Curry missed games early in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they didn't really miss a beat. And obviously missed games in the regular season as well. So it's interesting that Green, again, seems to be the linchpin to the team, the driving force, because it just changes with the when he's in the game. One thing I've noticed about the Warriors, you talked about them playing as a team, Kenny, but how active they are with their hands on defense. Like LeBron, who has made a career of barreling down the lane and dunking on people, how many times he's been stripped?
Yeah.
Going to the hoop.
And blocked, yeah.
At the rim by Green a few times.
Yeah, I mean, they've made him look human on several occasions, which at one point, that was a really difficult thing to do. I mean, you look at him back in the days of Miami. He was just beasting over the entire league at that point. And to see, you know, not just one person in the NBA, but several people on a team just kind of be able to stop him. It's impressive.
And we'll talk a little bit more about LeBron in a moment and the legacy and all that jazz. well, not so much Jazz, but Cavs. to correct myself, Shaq in the 2002 finals, 36 points, 12 rebounds, just under 4 assists, and almost 3 blocks a game against the Nets in the sweep. That's a finals MVP performance.
Absolutely.
So, when Kobe's 27 points, 6 rebounds, and 5 assists, 1.5 steals a game, and almost a block a game, when that looks like the ordinary performance in the finals. To say nothing of Jordan's 31 points and 11 assists a game in the 91 finals all those years ago. 25 years since the Bulls won their first championship. Yep, I do feel old.
Yeah.
I remember the 20th anniversary and feeling a bit old then. Now it's the 25th. So there you go.
Halfway to 50. Ugh. 50 years.
So before we get to that, this is probably going to be our, this will be, I believe, our final podcast, regardless of how the finals go from here on out. This will be our last podcast while the 2016 season is still going. How do you think it's going to end? I think it ends in 6. I think the Cavs are going to drop their home game tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Warriors have got it in 6.
I'm still optimistic for a 7th game.
7th
Cavs in 7.
Cavs in 7. The bold predictions are over, but Kenny's not not done.
As I said, I'm
boldly predicting.
I'm taking shots after the buzzer, so why not?
That's right. Yeah. Do you want me to goaltend that shot with a no chance? Or...
the finger wag.
Well, I mean that I guess leads into the next topic, which is just touching very briefly on LeBron James' legacy. I mean, that's been a big question, obviously. History says heading for another loss in the finals, where he'd be 2-5. Jerry West, the logo, Mr. Clutch, has come out and defended him, and I guess he definitely has a vested interest in that, being 1-8 in the finals himself. But has pointed out that with all that LeBron has done, you know, yes, he hasn't necessarily won the title every time, but if you look at some of the different circumstances of that, he did disappear in the 2011 finals.
Yeah.
Against the Mavericks, and Dirk was fantastic in that series. 2007, a young Cavs team beats through the East, or kind of overachieves, I guess, through the East, gets through the finals, gets wiped out by the Spurs when Duncan was still kind of in his prime, and Tony Parker and Ginobili as well. So the first kind of two losses in the finals, you can make allowances for in some respects. Wins 2 in a row, 2012 and 2013. Loses to a really strong Spurs team, where the whole Heat team kind of bamboozled in a respect. I think LeBron was the only one really playing well in that 2014 series. And let's not take away from Patty Mills, what he did for the Spurs. And last year, huge numbers on a depleted team. Back there this year, he hasn't had the best series, but I mean, I do not think he's the greatest player of all time. I would disagree with a recent assertion I heard that he is the best forward of all time. I still give that to Bird. The suggestion was that if he does lead the Cavs to come back from 3-1 down, that, you know, that he's moves up in the rankings, maybe not, but I mean, that certainly would change his legacy if he achieves the impossible, seemingly impossible in that respect. But are people being a bit too harsh on LeBron James?
I think it's possibly from some of the earlier stuff that he's, you know, said in his career, sort of thing. Or, you know, he's
residual hatred.
Yeah, some of the actions that he's even done as well. So, you know, obviously having that tattoo, the chosen one, on his back and all that stuff, things like that. During that press conference, you know, stating that he's the best in the world, or greatest in the world, and all that sort of thing. The whole original decision, and just some of the little attitude things that he obviously had sparked.
I mean, that turned me off a bit. He turned me off sort of enjoying him as one of my favorite non-Bulls all those years ago.
So
that's residual stuff from that. But I mean, he has been a great player.
Yeah.
You know, he has won 2 championships. Just getting to the finals is no mean feat. So And it's one of those things where if he wins the two titles, it's like, oh, well, he had a great team around him. And if he loses, oh, well, it's all on his fault.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of a always finding a way to diminish his accomplishments. And again, well, I'll always put Jordan above him unless, I don't know, LeBron somehow wins six straight titles for the next 6 years or something. I might have to reconsider. But a bit unlikely. Might keep making the finals every year if the Eastern Conference doesn't get any more competitive. So
about those teams that LeBron was on, yeah, you can say he was on great teams, but the two championships he won, there was no doubt that he was the man on both of those championship teams.
Indeed.
Aside from that 2011 finals and that, he's not fading out like Curry has done in all that sort of sense.
Well, I was going to say, people saying, well, Curry's surpassed LeBron and all this stuff, and Curry has had a fantastic season, but in the playoffs, he's kind of been carried at different times by Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. In this series, he's not been the best performer.
Yeah.
You take away that 38-point game he had in Game 4, where most of the points were actually scored in that when they were padding stats in the last couple of minutes. LeBron did the same, of course. That was just not to go on too big of a rant of it, but I really hate that when the game is decided and they're still fouling just to pad stats.
So I'll ask this question: both Michael Jordan and LeBron James, did their backup ever like outperform them in the NBA Finals? Because that's what happened to Steph Curry in Game 1.
I don't think Craig Hodges or Steve Kerr or Judd Bushler ever really did outperform Jordan in the finals. I know there was 96 people argued that Pippen could have been the MVP, and if you look at the stats, I would actually still say still Jordan overall. But no, I can't remember any time that Jordan was ever outperformed by his backup for a game or a series.
I mean, you might be able to argue it for LeBron a bit more, but yeah, definitely not Jordan.
Yeah, no.
I mean, Kyrie in this very series, maybe, in a couple of games, Game 3, possibly.
I'm just talking about, like, the backup small forward or the backup power forward on the team.
Backup, yeah, not the secondary.
Because Sean Livingston played way better than Steph Curry in Game 1.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't think LeBron has ever been outperformed by his backup, mainly because his backup's only been playing about 5 minutes per game in the finals.
And that's usually, it's a blowout situation.
if you can put up better numbers than LeBron James in 5 minutes, you should be playing a lot more than 5 minutes per game, is what I'm saying.
Yep. So,
yeah, it's, and again, it comes down to sounding like we're bashing Curry, but frankly, I think a lot of people are bashing LeBron, and LeBron, not a huge fan of him for a few years there, and people say, oh, because he's gone back to Cleveland and left Miami. Well, I guess I do find him a little bit more likable. Again, I really like Trainwreck, the Amy Schumer movies, and he was funny in that. So I didn't really like Shaq back in the day, but then I watched Blue Chips. And then I kind of became a bit more of a fan.
Of all the Shaq movies, you chose Blue Chips.
Blue Chips is probably the only good Shaq movie. So
it's the only one I've seen.
Yeah, don't bother with Steel or Kazam or anything.
I have Steel and Kazam on DVD.
I got Freddy Got Fingered. He's got a cameo in that. that's terrible for many other reasons. So.
Was it Tom Green, wasn't that?
It is Tom Green. Yeah, that's my teenage years right there. I don't even pretend to defend it. like James Harden, I will not defend at all. But yeah, I think it is overblown. People like to point to the losses. How many great players have not endured those losing seasons? I mean, you look at your Bill Russells and your Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippins that had all these, or at least an era where they were on top for many, many years. You know, even Tim Duncan, as great a player as he is, I think he's the best forward of all time, or certainly the best power forward. It's probably still put Bird above him overall. But, you know, he never repeated as champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's sometimes it's the way it goes, and it's more. It takes more than the one great player. Yet, if you look at the body of work as a whole, yeah, it's
I mean, look, Kobe had some down, like, you know, his team went through some rough times afterwards. So.
Yeah. Missing the playoffs.
Yeah.
In his prime, 2005, they missed the playoffs. Missed it
demanded,
every year towards the end of his career. Yeah.
Demanded to be traded and everything.
Yeah. Wanted to, you know, talked about to going to the Bulls for Ben Gordon. Why didn't? And of course, the Bulls management didn't do it because, you know, why would they? could help the team. Why would they? Yeah, I do think it's overblown. I think it's unfortunate. Not the biggest fan of LeBron, obviously, but I think it does affect his legacy a little bit. With some of the disappearances in the finals, certainly that 2011 finals, and looking at him now, the athleticism is starting to ebb a little bit. I hate saying that because I'm 2 months older than LeBron. So all this talk of LeBron getting old is kind of making me a little sad in some respects.
But I made myself cry.
I made myself sad there. But I do think moving forward, he's going to have to really develop that post game because that's an area they've really been able to crack down on him in the finals. The Warriors, if he had that, when Jordan developed that the post game and the fadeaway, and as his athleticism began to ebb, he was able to still score 30 points a game.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, I think LeBron needs a few more tools.
Wade has been sort of developing that game the last two seasons now with the post.
And you need to because you all that mileage that LeBron has played. You know, he's been playing professionally since he was 18, and had some really long seasons with the Olympics and multiple trips to the finals and deep playoff runs. You know, it's all taken its toll on as any human being would as an athlete, pro athlete.
Well, didn't we have an interesting stat sort of early in this year? He's played more minutes than what was it, like Vlade Divac or something like that, or someone, or was it Andre Miller?
His minutes are really getting up there, and he's only 31. Yeah, so
was it Vlade Divac or Andre Miller? I think it was Andre Miller.
Andre Miller. Yeah, he's played more minutes than Andre Miller, despite playing several less seasons, at least four or five. Yeah.
Yep.
At least four or five less seasons.
Because Andre Miller had, like, consecutive games going as well.
Yeah.
So that's really impressive.
So, that speaks to the amount of mileage on his body, I guess. So I think he does need to develop those tools to really continue to be beastly and effective offensively because we've seen some of those cracks appear. But, yeah, no, I think people are sleeping on LeBron as one of the greats. I don't think I would still rank him below some of the other players because of the disappearances in crunch time and simply because some other players have done some really incredible things in their career, which is not to say LeBron hasn't. But I do think that people are underrating him, which seems like ludicrous to say that LeBron James is underrated. It's like saying Jordan's underrated. It's ludicrous. But anyone can be underrated by a vocal minority. That said, if the impossible happens, I don't think it will. Like I say, I think the Warriors are going to finish things off in six. Even if he pushes it to Game 7, but if he actually won in Game 7, it'd be interesting to see how the whole legacy talk turns around, I think.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. That's pretty much why I want to see it, actually.
Hmm. Well, I've kind of favored the Warriors last year and favoring the Cavs this year. I favor the Bulls to win every year, but that was just not happening this year at all. So. And again, Ben, I have made myself sad. So, moving on to, well, there's a bit of sadness in this story too, but I'm also very glad to see it. But a deal between ESPN and TNT is going to see Craig Sager cover his very first NBA Finals game. And this is significant for many reasons. Obviously, Craig Sager is considered one of the best in the business, one of the best courtside reporters, well liked and respected by many people. Has never covered the finals because TNT has not covered the finals. I don't believe.
No,
I think it went straight from NBC to ABC, ESPN, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that's how it went.
And so, in any case, whatever reason, he has not covered any NBA Finals series as a sideline reporter. They have made this deal that he can work for, you know, appear on ESPN rather than the TNT where he is employed, which is quite special because hopefully he does beat the odds in the prognosis, but he has been given, 6 months to live. He has been suffering. Is it leukemia he's been suffering?
Pekka cancel leukemia or something like that?
I will just double check myself on that. I thought it was. I know it was. Pretty sure it was leukemia at one point. Let's see. Late March 2016, Sega announced his leukemia had returned. Oh, okay. He was also announced that doctors told him he had 3 to 6 months to live without treatment. So obviously he has been getting treatment. He will work that game. And I do think that's fantastic that he gets to at least work that one game. Hopefully he will continue to work and he will beat the odds again. You know, Sega strong and all that hashtag. But yeah, I read that and I thought it's one of those things in sports that why I'm a fan of sports. You know, you just get these, this goodness, this kind of, these feel good moments of sportsmen like gestures and nice gestures like this.
Yeah. I have a feeling. This is not to come out in like any way like a jerk comment or anything like that. But with given the time frame and that he has been given, it wouldn't surprise me if he sadly does pass, like, even just days before tip-off next season kind of thing. So, I know.
They're kind of doing it just in case kind of thing. Yeah.
And so, I have a feeling that's probably what could happen in the end. So, it's just the whole timing of it suggests that maybe.
Yeah, I hope that's wrong, obviously, as I'm sure you do.
Yes, I do.
But seeing the prognosis, you know, it makes sense. And to that end, I am glad that they are doing this.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, it wasn't to be a jerk.
No, not at all. I think everyone got where you're coming from, but, you know, I kind of meant to allude to that as well. It seems to be doing it while I can and making a gesture while I know they can. And I'm glad they are. And I just reading here on Wikipedia that his son, Craig Jr., who has filled in for him a few times on broadcasts, has been a donor for bone marrow as well to help push him into remission. So obviously, close family doing everything they can. And obviously, as much as we and the NBA fans and the NBA family, all the teams and players and everything are feeling it, obviously they are feeling it the worst because he's only 64, Kenny.
Wow, yeah, it's too young for sure. It kind of like I lose my track of thought when I just think about it because he is one of my favorite analysts and it's obviously pretty distressing what he's going through. But I will say just like as a general comment on the way he is. I think he's one of the few analysts that has a shtick but doesn't let it get in the way of them being a good analyst.
Yep.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
And I think
it's not over the top gimmicky or putting the attention on him. It's just his thing.
It's over the top, like the way he dresses, but it's kind of charming at the same time because like I don't know. I guess that's just my train of thought when it comes to him. But
prefer loud suits to loud analysts, loud shit, loud talking.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Prefer him over like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless and Bouchard and all that stuff. So yeah.
I remember I think it was the '95 All Star Weekend. He was there in the crowd with Billy Crystal and Billy Crystal was having some fun with his jersey, with his suits and everything, and some nice back and forth there. But obviously wish Craig Sager Sr. The best. Looking forward to seeing him in the finals and being able to have his first sideline reporting on the finals. He's going to share the duties with Doris Burke. I think it'll be special to see, regardless of what happens in the game.
Yeah, one thing, who approached who in regards to potentially doing that? You know, was it something that ESPN, thought? Hey.
Did they offer or did TNT kind of make inquiries? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've obviously got a working relationship because they do promote upcoming NBA games on each other's network. You know, I guess they don't really compete in that sense when they've both got their respective deals. So, but whomever reached out. That was that's cool to see, and I'll have to watch the game to see Craig Sager. I hope he wears the most awesome suit he's ever had.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that he will. I'm sure he'll have an awesome suit for the occasion.
Need to bring out Greg Popovich so we can just talk to Greg Popovich.
That'd be a classic. Just at least that one final time kind of thing, you know, or potentially final time and that. So
Popovich, KG, Shaq, just bring them all out.
Yep. So before we wrap up episode number 163 of the NLSC podcast, we would like to go to our new game. We've stopped bold predictions because we don't really have that many predictions. Although, again, Kenny, you are taking some shots after the buzzer, which we respect and try not to goaltend or block as LeBron did to Stephen Curry on a dunk attempt on a dead ball. But it's a new segment that people seem to enjoy. It's trivia time! And if you did tune into the last episode, you'll know that I do put some post-production effects when we're asking the questions. But basically, this is straightforward trivia. I ask Ben a question, then I ask Kenny a question. If they get the question wrong, the other person is able to then take a shot. And then the third question is just a free-for-all. I throw it out there, and whoever is first to the loose ball gets the point. How's that for a labored basketball analogy?
Well played.
So we're going to start things off with throwing the question over to you, Ben.
Okay.
You're both tied at one apiece from last week, so it's a close game so far. I've got them all right so far, but then it's kind of cheating because I know the answer. So, Ben, your question is, which was the first PC version of NBA Live to feature a steal button?
Ooh.
First NBA Live on PC to feature a steal button.
I want to say 98.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, I'll lock it in.
You lock it in? You are correct.
Yes.
Before that, of course, the only way to make a steal without turning the rules off and just running into somebody and knocking them over was to get close enough to your player would start automatically reaching in to knock the ball loose, which was not very efficient, got many fouls, and I don't know why it took them so long to get the steal button in on PC, because the console versions did have it, but very glad they did with 98 moving forward, because it was not an efficient way of doing that.
So basically it's 2K's CPU logic way of stealing the ball.
It was, press stand near opponent to foul, yes. So one of your favorite games there, Kenny?
It is, yeah, for sure.
So your question now, which was the last NBA Street game to officially feature Michael Jordan? The last NBA Street game to officially feature Michael Jordan.
God, this feels like a trick question. I'm just trying to think of all the Street titles. Is that the Courtside by any chance? That's my final answer.
Courtside?
Yeah.
Home court. Home court. I'm afraid not. The last one was...
Is it two?
Oh, of course. You get to jump in. Yeah. Go.
Is it two?
Go ahead, Ben.
It was two, wasn't it?
Volume two. You are correct.
Yes.
So you got the 2 points because you jumped in because I forgot my own the rules that I made up. So almost gave the answer away. Would have had to have come up with another question, maybe. So you're now leading 3-1. So I'll throw out the last question to the two of you. See if you can catch up now, Kenny. True or false? Players with a dunk rating of 0 in NBA Jam could actually still dunk.
True.
True or false?
True.
True. Got there first, Kenny, and you are correct. Yes, despite a rating of 0, and despite the fact there are help screens in all the NBA Jam games that say players with a 0 rating cannot dunk, they absolutely do. They can't do the most spectacular dunks, and they tend to miss dunks or get blocked more easily, but they can actually dunk. So just like Whose Line Is Anyway, the ratings are all made up and don't mean anything. So we are now 3-2. It's still a close game heading into next week, and I will enjoy it once again putting all the post-production effects in. Of course, if you're listening to this, they will already be in there. You know, quite enjoyed the royalty-free sound effects I used, gentlemen.
Yeah, they turned out really well.
Yeah, I was impressed. You did a good job.
Ticking clock, the royalty-free music, yeah. Just to put it in there. I actually wanted a fanfare, but ended up using that for the for the correct answer. So that has brought us to the end of episode number 163 of the NLSC podcast. We thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to tune in more often, you may do so through the NLSC itself, or you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also find us on Stitcher. If you want to download the app and search NLSC podcast, you will find us there. As always, invite you to connect with us on social media. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc, Twitter, our handle is @thenlsc, and of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything that we do. So, that will do it for this week. I'm Andrew.
I'm okay.
And I'm Kenny.
And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
See you next week.